It's wonderful to be here this morning, and Lord, I pray for your help this morning, in Jesus' name. Amen. Thank you so much. Now, we came down, we weren't supposed to be here this weekend. As you know, we've been in Johannesburg with the God First Churches, and it's just wonderful to see all the visitors here this morning. It's just great to have you, and we've been with the God First Churches in Johannesburg. When Rini went to be with Jesus, we came down for the weekend and stayed over so we could be with you on Sunday morning. So it's great to be here this morning. Last time I was here, it was a bit of a rush because we were rushing off to watch the Springboks, weren't we? But it's great to be here again this morning and to preach to you. And what I want to do this morning is I just want to give a little bit of feedback as to what's happening up there, so we don't just leave it till the end of November. But every time I come back, just give you a bit of feedback and give you an idea of what's happening in the God First churches there as well, and also just preach off that as well, because we've now been in Joburg for about a month and a half, getting used to Joburg and all the traffic, shopping malls and the people. It's very, very different, but it's great to be there as well. And we're also learning a lot. We're praying for folk. They've asked us to help pray for folk and minister on the things of the Holy Spirit. So we've been doing that, and we've just been at the Four Ways congregation. Tonight we're at Monte Casino, two meetings tonight at 5 o'clock. We'll be in a meeting in Joburg. It's amazing. We've been learning a lot there as well. And particularly because they're a church that's been on mission. And they've probably one of the fastest growing churches in South Africa. They've grown in the last 6 years. They're about 2,500 people. So they have added 350 people a year to their church. So that's about this number of people times two. Every year they've added to the church, and that's leaders that are needed, an organization and small groups and everything. And so there's 9 sites or congregations across Johannesburg, and they really have geared up to reach the city of Johannesburg in a big way, and we're learning that how to do that as well. So it's been a shift for us. We're learning things as well, learning new things as well, learning to drive in the traffic. In Joburg, you've got to leave about an hour before you go anywhere, as I said to you last time. And I heard a story of a guy who was driving in Joburg, and he was going below the speed limit. He wasn't speeding. And as he drove, the camera flashed at him. And he thought, this is crazy. I wasn't even speeding. So he turned around the block, and he drove back past the camera again, and it flashed at him again and took his photo. And he thought, this is crazy. So he drove even slower the third time, past the camera, and took his photo again. So the fourth time, he thought, no, and he was just crawling. And he went past the camera and flashed again at him. And about 2 months later, he got something in the post that said, you've got 4 traffic fines for not wearing your seatbelt. So, have to learn how to do things in Joburg. And so we're learning as well. And if I try to speed, my wife's there, along with the Lord, telling me to slow down. So it's helpful to have that. But we've also been learning new things as well, and it's been some things to learn there. So we've gone up to learn. We're learning from the guys as well, and we want to impart some of that stuff to you guys as well and to our leaders over the next few months as well. This morning, I just want to touch on a few of the things we've learned as well, because it's important. They bought me an Apple Mac computer when I was up there, and now I've got to learn to go from my PC to an Apple. And so it's a whole lot of new things for a 51-year-old. It's good for us to keep learning new things, isn't it? And so we're up there learning from them and how they do church and how we can reach people in our city. And so I just want to share one verse with you this morning and then talk into that, because God is teaching us new things. And so in Galatians chapter 5 and verse 25, it says, Galatians chapter 5 verse 25, it says, if we live by the Spirit, we're Christians, we're saved, we're filled with the Spirit, baptized in the Spirit, and now we're meant to live by the Spirit. It says, if we live by the Spirit, let us also walk by the Spirit. Since we live by the Spirit, let us also walk by the Spirit. In verse 16, it also talks about walking by the Spirit and not gratifying the desires of the flesh. But then in verse 25, it's more careful walking. It means to really keep our eyes on the Lord and walk step by step with the Holy Spirit as the Holy Spirit leads us into new things as well. And so I want to talk to you this morning about the things we've learned up there and hopefully that we can impart to you as well. 2 weeks ago when I preached to you, I preached from Acts chapter 2 about the promise of the Father on the day of Pentecost after Jesus had risen. He died on the cross for our sins to give us new life, and He rose and He went into heaven to glory. And then the Holy Spirit was poured out. And I preached on that 2 weeks ago. I spoke about the promise of the Father. And I spoke about the fact that God wants us to be full of the Holy Spirit and to live a life full of the Holy Spirit. So we're not just living according to our own desires and our own dictates of our own heart, but we're seeking to be led by the Lord and by His Holy Spirit. And so as a Christian, we have the Holy Spirit in us. God lives in us. Jesus lives in me, and He lives in my heart. But we also seek to come under the leading of the Holy Spirit. We want God to lead us and to guide us through our lives as well, because He's now been exalted. And so one of the things I want to say to us this morning is I feel one of the things God is doing with us at this time, He's leading us into mission. He's leading us and preparing us as a people more and more to be on mission. Now, I think earlier on this year in January, we said that there are a number of words we believe in as a church. We believe in God who is Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. It's a mystery. One God in three persons, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. We said we also believe in the Word of God. We're a people that believe in the Reformed doctrines, the God of grace, the fact that God loves us, the fact that He sent His Son. We believe in the Word of God. We believe in the sovereignty of God. So in this church, we have a high view of the Scriptures and a high view of the Word of God. We want to be biblical in all that we do. And we also believe that we need to be a charismatic people. We need to be full of the Spirit, people of the Spirit. It was just wonderful again being here this morning and the life and the joy in this meeting. And it's like that because we're full of the Spirit. Full of the Holy Spirit. And then we've also, over the years, we've worked at being a multicultural church. When I go to Joburg, I say to people, more and more now, that we are probably one of the most diverse churches in South Africa. And God has helped us to do that. And so we're singing Kokroko, and we're singing in Afrikaans, and we're singing in English. And God has given us a grace to be together as a multicultural people. But we also need, and so these are four areas that I think God has helped us in over the years. We worship God who's a relational God. He's a Trinity. We're a people of the Word. We're a people of the Spirit. And we're a multicultural people. So it's like this stool here. It's like this chair with four legs. And we're wanting to build in a way that we have these things in place. God who's a Trinity, a people of the Word, I mustn't drop this, people of the Spirit, and a multicultural people. And I feel God has helped us. And now we want to add a fifth leg to the stool. There's a new leg we need to add and ask God for His help in. And that is, we want to be a people on a mission. We want to be a people on a mission. We want to reach the city for Jesus. That's what we want to do. And so the early disciples, when they were filled with the Holy Spirit, when the Holy Spirit came upon them, they spilled out onto the streets and they began to touch their world with the name of Jesus and in the power of the Holy Spirit. Tozer says of the early disciples, he says they knew His presence. They knew they were in touch with God. In the coming of the Holy Spirit, there was the sudden illuminating knowledge of God, Him actually being present with them. And Dave's going to teach on this tonight. God is with us. And we're meant to experience God. And we're meant to know His touch. Christianity, as I've said so often, is not just a set of teachings. It's walking with God. And He says the Holy Spirit is a person. And God wants us to be in touch with Him. And they knew themselves to be in immediate contact with another world. And so we're following Jesus by the Holy Spirit. He sent His Spirit. It's the same Spirit as Jesus. Sent His Spirit into our lives that we may walk according to the Holy Spirit and He may lead us. And He is a person and He leads and He guides and He convicts and He encourages and He wants to glorify Jesus. So the most important thing the Holy Spirit will want to do in your life and my life is He'll want to glorify Jesus. He'll want to lift up the name of Jesus. He'll want Jesus to become real to you and real to others as well. And that is how He will lead us. And so that's our challenge this morning, that the Lord would lead us into more and more being a missional people and sharing Jesus with others, telling Jesus to others as well. And being in Joburg has provoked us and it stirred us as we see a church that's really given themselves to this last area, a people on a mission, telling people about Jesus. And in every meeting, last Sunday night, I was in two meetings, one at 5 o'clock and 6:30. There were 10 people saved in those two meetings on Sunday evening in Monte Cassino. And in every meeting, people are coming to know Jesus. So it's a church where every week people are coming to know Jesus. And it's wonderful to be in that environment because you get caught up in it as well. And I started talking to Shannon and saying, we need to really look at this and ask God to help us in this area as well. And so I want to talk to you about that this morning, because the primary function of the Holy Spirit is to glorify Jesus. It's not, so we must make sure that the Holy Spirit's not just for us. We don't want it just to be misdirected or internalized so that I can worship God and enjoy Him. That's important. But the most important function of the Holy Spirit is to lift up the name of Jesus and to glorify the name of Jesus. And if you have a look here at Acts chapter 18, just turn with me to Acts chapter 18. It's a wonderful passage that touches on all five of those points in one passage, in one verse. And Paul is in Corinth, and he's been preaching in Corinth, and he's come under a bit of opposition. He's come under a bit of flack. And in Acts chapter 18, in verse 9, it says, Acts chapter 18, verse 9, "And the Lord said to Paul one night in a vision, 'Do not be afraid, but go on speaking, and do not be silent, for I am with you, and no one will attack you to harm you, for I have many in this city who are my people.' And he stayed a year and 6 months, teaching the word of God among them." And so I just want you to look at these few verses. In those few verses, if you have a look there, God spoke to him. There's the Trinity. God spoke to Paul. God was involved in Paul's mission. He spoke to Paul, who was an apostle, and Paul was wanting to reach Corinth, that great city in the ancient world. And God wants us to reach the cities in which He's placed us. God wants us to reach Pietermaritzburg with the gospel and the other cities of this world. So God spoke to Paul, who was an apostle. He said to him, "I want you to preach my word." There it is, the word of God. Keep preaching the word of God. And so he spoke to him about the importance of the Word of God. It's the Word of God that's going to see people saved. It's the Word of God that's going to change people's lives. He spoke to him. How did he speak to him? He spoke to him in a vision. He spoke to him by the Holy Spirit. So it was a charismatic thing. It was a thing of the Spirit. He spoke to him in a vision. Paul saw a vision and God spoke to him. And finally he said, "I have many people in this city," which is the reformed doctrine of the predestination of believers, that God, you're saved because God chose you and God called you and God saved you. And God said to Paul, "I have many people in the city," a multicultural people. Eventually the gospel broke out and it began to touch Jews and Gentiles alike. And so friends, we want to ask God to help us. Lord, help us to be a people that love you and in relationship with you, a people of the word, a people of the Holy Spirit, a people that are on mission, and a people that are multicultural. That's what God wants for us. And so I want us just to look at that this morning. And I've just got 3 points quickly. I'm not going to preach for long, but just to summarize some of the things we've learned. The first thing is, I believe in the next months, we are going to see the Holy Spirit leading us more and more into mission, more and more into mission. He's going to help us to add that fifth leg, if you like, to the stool. And He's going to help us to grow and reach folk with the gospel of Jesus Christ. It's part of our keeping in step with the Spirit is being a people that are on mission together. And so we've been praying over this last couple of years, Lord, give us a love for our city. Lord, give us a love for this nation. Lord, help us to reach people with the gospel. Shannon and I have been asking ourselves, how many friends do we have that are not Christians? Are all our friends Christians? Or do we have friends that are not Christians, that don't yet know the Lord? And it's a challenge for us, particularly if you're a pastor, because you spend a lot of your time with Christians. And so we have to say, Lord, we need to find friends in other places as well that are not Christians in order to lead them to know the Lord Jesus. Help us, Holy Spirit, to do this. Someone once said that there are only two things we can do now that we won't be able to do in heaven. And the one is tell people about Jesus, and the second one is sin. You won't be able to sin in heaven. And so we want to make sure that right now, while we have opportunity, that we tell people about Jesus. That we tell people about Jesus. We don't just want the Holy Spirit to bless us, but we want it to flow through us and to touch others as well. And we've got unsaved people in our families and friends and people in our streets and neighborhoods that we want to hear the gospel, because Jesus is wanting to save them. And being at God First has affected us. And we pray that through us it will affect you as well as we begin to rise up with the gospel as well. The Holy Spirit is beginning to lead us into mission more and more. And mission to tell people about Jesus is at the heart of the Great Commission. Let's just have a look there together. Matthew chapter 28. Let's turn there together. The Great Commission. Jesus gave his disciples before he left. In Matthew chapter 28. And Jesus said to them, verse 18, Jesus came and said to them, these were amongst the last things that Jesus said. And he said, all authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Therefore go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to obey all that I've commanded you. And behold, I'm with you always to the end of the age. And so this is the great commission that Jesus gave to his disciples. In Genesis, centuries earlier, in Genesis chapter 12, there had been a commission that had been given to Abraham. And God said to Abraham, Abraham, through you, I'm going to bless you and all the families of the earth will be blessed. And then Jesus stood up in Matthew 28 and he said to his disciples, all authority has now been given to me in heaven and on earth. Therefore go and make disciples of all the nations. Break into the nations with the gospel. Tell people about the gospel. Tell people about Jesus. This is our commission. This is the Great Commission. And as someone once said, we need to pray for God's permission to stay, because God's actually told all of us to go. I'm not saying you must leave the country, but what I'm saying is we need to get up and go. We need to get ready to share the gospel. The Holy Spirit's not just for me and to bless me, it's to flow through me to touch others as well. So one writer, George MacLeod, said, the cross, Jesus was a friend of tax collectors and sinners. Jesus was a friend of tax collectors and sinners. It says that in Matthew chapter 11. Prostitutes and sinners and tax collectors loved being around Jesus. The religious people didn't like him, but sinners felt comfortable with him. And they felt that he could relate to them and he understood them. And this man, George MacLeod, says that Jesus was a friend of tax collectors and sinners. And the cross needs to be raised again in the marketplace, not just on the steeple of the church. Jesus was not crucified in a cathedral between two candles, but on a cross between two thieves. On a town garbage heap and at a crossroads so cosmopolitan that they had to write his name in three languages. In Aramaic and Hebrew and Latin, because it was a crossroads. The kind of place where thieves curse and soldiers gamble. Because this is where he died, and this is what he died about. And this is where the church ought to be and what the church ought to be about. And so mission is at the heart of the work of the Holy Spirit. And the Spirit comes upon us primarily for mission, to flow out in mission. And this church is a great multicultural church that God wants to mobilize increasingly to be on mission. And I believe that's where God is going to increasingly lead us as well. Secondly, we must find more effective ways of engaging with our city. We must find more effective ways. Understand the way our city is structured. And all the many communities that make up the city, the schools, the universities, the technicons, the sports clubs, the service organizations, friends and neighbors, who lives where, who's in your street, who's in your neighborhood, who belongs where. and begin to pray for them as well. We're looking for conversion growth. We're not just looking for transfer growth from other churches to come here. We want people to be saved and come to know Jesus. That's what we're looking for. And so I ask you this morning, what part of the city are you living in? What part of the city are you touching? Are you touching the legal community? Are you a mom in a mom's group touching other moms? Are you part of a school where you're on the parent body? Are you part of CCP where you're working in local poor communities? What part of the city has God put you in? Because you are called to be a missionary in that part of the city for Jesus. And even our small groups as well need to be shaped by mission, not just doing Bible study and drinking great coffee. We've moved from Frisco to Nescafe now. Come to my cell group. Well, that's wonderful, but it needs to be more than that. And Avril has been helping. Avril and Aline have been helping us with that. And next month in October, they are going to be training our small group leaders how to be more missional and how to be more outward looking as well. That's what we're looking for as well. We want to touch the city in every way possible. Thirdly, PJ said this in his notes, and I want to read it to you. He's recovering from cancer now, and this is now consuming him, and it's great to catch his energy and his passion. He says this, because of my obsession with mission, I obsess more about how to win the unsaved Joburger to Christ, followed closely on how to get my hands on him and disciple him through to baptism, membership, and maturity. We must begin to obsess about unsaved people being reached with the gospel. We must begin to obsess about that. We must begin. And for me, I feel like it's a bit of a wake-up call. We've been great on four of those areas. But that last area, we have to say, Lord, won't you help us? Won't you help us? They're learning from other guys as well, some of these multi-site churches where they're reaching different parts of the city and planting different congregations. When Vusi and Kutala came up here this morning, I thought, wouldn't it be great to have a site up in Mpopomeni and a cell group up there as well and reach that part of the city, reach Howick as well. You begin to think in a way that you're saying, Lord, help us to reach other parts of the city. In Mark Driscoll's church, they're learning from him as well. In every meeting, they have hundreds of non-Christians in every meeting. Hundreds of non-Christians in every meeting. They're now at 10,000 members in Seattle, and they're planning to go to 15,000 members because there's so many non-Christians in their meetings as well. And so over the next few months, folks, we want to pray into this and prepare for this. Let me urge you to come on Thursday night and to pray. Jesus said the harvest is plentiful, but the workers are few. Pray to the Lord of the harvest. I want to urge you to come on Thursday. I want to urge you to come here and to pray with us. I would love to see every leader here in our prayer meetings. Every single leader in our prayer meetings. They pray in Joburg at Hoppers 5 till 7 in the mornings. And there were 40, 50 people that came to pray. And those who were left behind afterwards, they give them a free breakfast. The church paid for. We're not going to pay for a free breakfast or a free supper. We won't take you to the casino or to Ocean Basket after the prayer meeting. We don't have that kind of money, but come and pray with us. Come and pray with us. We'd love to see the leaders. We'd love to see cell leaders. If you rearrange your schedule and be here to pray, be here to pray with us. God is so present in this prayer meeting. And we want to pray. And our prayer needs to be mainly, Lord, give us the city. I want to touch people in the city. I want to see people saved. And I want to urge you. I want to urge you, church. Come on. Make a note in your diary. 5:30 on Thursdays. Be here. Rearrange your diary. Rearrange your schedule. Be here to pray. Be here to pray. This prayer meeting is being carried by a few folk in our youth. We want the entire church to begin to come out and pray. And as we do that, we'll not only see the Holy Spirit begin to move, but we'll see people saved as well. So let's do that as well. And we'll be talking and praying over the next few months as elders and leaders as we prepare for this. All right, we've already done a number of things. We started the shift in 2009. But as Louise said to me this morning, we're not always sure how to do this. That's why I've gone to Joburg to learn. I've gone to learn there as well. And we've done a few things as well. We've started doing a tractional series. We've spoken through Mighty Mark. Remember, we did Uncovered series. And we used that to speak to folk as well. We did Taste the Nations. Remember Taste the Nations? It's the one time of the year you can get a great curry and rice in this church. It was fantastic. And we may do that again, and we invited folk to that as well. We've launched our website in order to that folk, and people have joined this church from seeing our website as well. Avril and Annalene have helped us with our small groups to train as well. Our move to Scottsville was part of reaching the city as well. The peaceful outreach we had a week ago up in that new area, and thank so many of you for helping, was a new way of reaching people. Peewee had a tent up there, and many folk committed their lives to the Lord on that outreach as well. Last year, Paul Simpson started in Harding. They've just had a year's anniversary with a church plant in Harding, and they have seen many people come to Christ in that time as well. But as we look ahead, folks, we want to, there's about four or five areas I want to touch on that I've pinched from PJ's notes. First of all, we want to look at missional me. Missional me. What meaningful contact do you have with non-Christians? Come on, ask yourself that question. Secondly, what non-Christian friends do you bring to our meetings? Missional me. Okay? Secondly, we want to be missional members in this church. We want people to visit this church. We want people to visit our small groups. We want to be missional members. So it's not just the pastor doing it, but we're all on a mission. People say to you, what do you do in Grace Gen? Don't tell them you're a worship leader. Don't tell them you're a youth leader. Say, I'm a missionary. I'm a missionary for Jesus. I want to reach people with the gospel. We want to see people saved. We want to see people baptized. We want to see people added to the church. And then we want those folk to reach their friends with the gospel. We're so glad to have visitors here this morning. It's just wonderful. Thank you for coming. And then we want missional meetings. We want missional meetings as well. In our meetings as well, we want folk to feel that they have been welcomed and loved and that they hear the gospel and they can respond to the gospel. So we want visitors to come on Sunday as well. We want our meetings to be open so that people visiting feel at home. We don't just use strange language like redeemed by the blood, that people don't understand what that means. And I've got to stop saying glory, hallelujah all the time. You know that. Just a little bit, not too much. So that folk coming in don't feel they're on another planet, but they can relate and connect and find Jesus as well. It's so important as well. We're looking at starting student meetings early in 2012. Benson and the team have been busy with that. And we're developing a team for outreach as well. We're wanting to do that. In November, we're planning a sports day on the 20th of November. So start training. Egg and spoon races, sack races, wheelchair races. We're going to have a family sports day on the 20th of November. It's a great opportunity. We'll have little tickets available for you to invite your friends and to get to know us as well, that we're not just great Christians, we're great athletes as well. Okay? They can be part of the dad's race, the mom's race as well. We're looking to do that next year as well. And so we're looking to do this thing as well. We're wanting in our small groups as well, just to have a different outlook in our small groups, not just looking in, but looking outward. And inviting friends as well. And so missional me, Lord help me to be in touch with people that don't know you. We want missional members. We want missional meetings as well in our meetings. We want non-Christians to be there all the time. We love that. And then we also want to increasingly turn our resources so that our resources are there for the gospel as well. We want to train leaders and we want in our finances as well. We want to train leaders. We've been preaching series as well, like Jonah and Ruth and other series as well. We had a number of hits on our website from the Ruth series, and people were benefiting from that. And we're going to do another series in January in order to reach people with the gospel. And so I would say to you this morning, I want to add a fifth one to this, a missional heart. Ask God to give you a heart for this. As I've been in Joburg, God's been changing my heart. And God's been saying to me, come on, Craig. You've been a Christian. I've been a Christian for 32 years. Come on. We need to start reaching those again who don't know the Lord Jesus. Give you a missional heart. A heart for the gospel. A heart for mission. Paul says in 1 Corinthians, in Acts chapter 18, when he was in Corinth, I'll just read you that again. Paul says, God said to Paul, He said to Paul one night in a vision, do not be afraid. Church, let's not be afraid of this. God will help us. God will guide us. God will give you ways of reaching friends and neighbors and others. I feel a lot of it will also happen through our children as well. God says, don't be afraid. And do not be silent. Go on speaking. Do not be silent. Do not be silent. You know, Francis of Assisi, he was a mystic in the Catholic Church, and he said once, you know, people need to know that I'm a Christian by my life, and if I need to use words, sometimes I will. Well, it sounds great, but it's not entirely true, because actually people need to hear the gospel. And if they look at you, they may just see a good-looking person, or they may just see you, and you need to open your mouth sometimes and say, you know what, I want to tell you what's happened in my life. Jesus has changed my life. You need to give your testimony. Peter says, always be ready to share the hope that you have within you. And so we need to open our mouths and share as well. And so he says here, do not be afraid. Do not be silent. Keep on speaking, for I am with you, and no one will attack you or harm you. For I have many people in this city who are already my people. There are people in Maritzburg that God has already chosen. God has already chosen. They are elect in Christ. They've been chosen already. They've been predestined, if you want to, we want to use that word. They don't know it yet. And it's through me and you, as we share the gospel with them, that they'll come to know Jesus. They'll come to know Christ. And their lives will be totally changed. So God says to us this morning, friends, do not be silent. Do not be afraid. Keep on speaking. I'm with you. God is looking for us to become missionaries. He's looking for a missional heart. He wants us to be missional members, to get on a mission. He wants our meetings to be missional. He wants our resources to be channeled into mission, because Jesus said, go into all the world and preach the gospel, and I'll be with you to the end of the age. Hallelujah. And this is where I believe God is going to take us. And this is what we're learning. And this is why we've been in Joburg. And thank you again for releasing us. We're learning so much. And it's been a challenge being in a context where they're adding so many people to the Lord on a weekly basis. And I feel God is going to help us to do the same. Let's just close our eyes as we close in prayer. As you sit there this morning, just say to the Lord, Lord, I want to be on mission with you. This is your mission and I want to be part of it. Just say that to the Lord. And say, Lord, over the next few weeks and months, help me not to be afraid. Say, Lord, help me not to be afraid. Help me not to be silent, but to keep on speaking. Because you have people in the city that you have called, that you have chosen, and they don't yet know you. Won't you fill me with your Spirit and help me to share Jesus with them, that their lives may be changed, that their sins may be forgiven, that they may experience new life. In Jesus' name. And if you're sitting here this morning, and as you've been listening to me, you're not a Christian this morning. You don't know the Lord Jesus. God's calling you this morning. He's saying to you this morning, won't you open your heart? Won't you come to Jesus? Won't you surrender your life to Him? Won't you give your life to Christ? Turn away from your sins. Believe He died on the cross for you. He rose again. And this today He'll give you new life and become a Christ follower. Won't you do that this morning? Won't you do that? That's why God brought you here, to speak to you and to give you new life this morning. And if you want that new life, I would ask at the end of this meeting, you come speak to me. I'd love to pray with you. I'd love to get to know you better. God is on a mission, and He wants you to be part of that mission as well. Because He loves you and He died for you. He loves you and He died for you. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Lord Jesus, I pray for us as a congregation that You would help us, Lord, to not be afraid, to not be silent, but to keep on speaking and to lift up the gospel of Jesus Christ in this city. In Jesus' name, amen. Hallelujah.